Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 44 of the Friendly Geordies podcast. Your boy Robbie here. We've got Tom in the studio.
Hello,
Jordan.
And Ali.
Yeah, he's you back.
Hey, guys, how's Ali it going?
So, pretty much all the regulars. There's no real change to it.
Yeah. Stick to what you know.
Yep. Having said that, there will be a surprise new guest next week, but if you like the classics, tune in to this one and skip the next one.
All right, so we're talking about lots today. We're going to be debating Tasmanian tigers. Are they real? We're talking music. We're talking lots of things.
It's going to be rapid fire today because we have to get out of here quick, smart. Because again, we messed up the booking and stuff. So
Tom messed up the booking.
No, we just took a few too many hours to start, I think.
Well, also the team effort, and the first letter in team is T for Tom.
There are a few technical difficulties as well with the computer, but anyway, that is by the by, and we're about to give you fresh content, aren't we, guys? So the first segment is absolutely. However, and this is basically we look at something in the media, something that's really grabbing the world's attention, and you know, we say, oh yeah, we agree with everything about it. However,
let's have some nuance, people.
Yeah.
So, and this week's victim of nuance, of course, is David Bowie. Not for the reasons that spring to mind instantly, because I was listening to the radio here. There was some idiot ringing up the mic here in Emma's show. Of course, it's going to be some dumbass from the West ringing up who's this David Bowie? Why is everyone talking about him? He's just old. Who cares about... I don't know who he is. Who's David Bowie? What did he do? And then they go, oh, I think he was like a musician in the 70s or something. Yeah. And then the other one of the co-hosts, his job is music. And he was like, who's that? It's not Chris Brown, is it? I don't care about it. Who's this Bowie? So it's three dunderheads sitting there denigrating the legend that is David Bowie. And frankly, just completely undeserved, really. That guy does not... What did he do to get that kind of response in his death, right? Of, who cares? He's irrelevant. Move on.
Yeah. It just seems like a troll response straight away to just say, this is bad because it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's people want people to notice them, right? You know, and if they have a contrary opinion.
Robbie, king of the memes.
Yeah, Robbie knows this firsthand.
Bar Poop Steve and virtually everyone on the internet. But he's up there after that.
You know,
if this
dad
were tennis players, he would be 10,980th, around that region of all-time meme professionals.
Yeah.
And he's obviously scouring all the meme pages. As soon as he dies, these vultures just leap on his, you know, great musical soul.
It was quite vulgar. You know, there were some real people just kicking him while he's down. You know, or kicking him while he's dead.
It was awful. Flogging a dead Bowie.
Say that one more time.
Okay.
Wait.
Like flogging a dead Bowie.
Now, is that... Did we just do that? Yeah. I don't know if we did. But anyway, look.
So yeah, terrible stuff has happened.
Beautiful example of, oh, yeah, absolutely. No, this segment. However...
Yeah.
Because basically, we started here defending him, and we've very quickly just turned into that filth.
Yeah.
Picking at his bones.
Yeah, so we love him. We think he's great. However, he's not the best. And that's what we're doing right now, is trying to work out who are the best musicians who've ever lived.
And quite frankly, I don't know if we can put him in in the top five.
Because we were doing that the other day. We were saying, all right, like Bowie has to be in the top five. You've got Elvis, you've got Michael Jackson, you've got the Rolling Stones, you've got the Beatles, and you've got Bowie.
I said Prince, and you're like, no.
No way.
No, it's just a crap Michael Jackson.
It's a surface level.
I said Led Zeppelin. Nobody cared about that.
Yeah,
I think Led Zeppelin should be in the top five.
Yeah, but again, it doesn't have that same feel, right? Because when we were saying, oh, yeah, he's definitely got to be in the top five, Beatles, Stones, Elvis, Michael Jackson, Bowie?
Yeah.
You know? And then the same thing, Zeppelin?
Yeah.
And then just...
Prince. And everyone, yeah. No.
Bob Marley?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean,
maybe. Well, it's so hard to... Obviously, the judging is very subjective. But we did
it's
agree.
Not the first four. Nobody disagrees with this. And if you do, please write in the comments and say, I don't think the Stones are one of the top four, you know? Just prepare to be laughed at.
Well, it's what the measure is.
If you don't think the Stones are in the top four, post a photo of Nigel Thornberry. preferably with his son, but if not, yes. He's fine to be by himself. But
maybe just, trying to flail Darwin the monkey off his back.
Yeah, or the wild boy Donnie.
What does that signify?
Beatles.
Yeah, Beatles. If you don't think the Beatles are that good.
Because okay. Donnie loved eating Beatles.
Nice.
Very.
The thing is, I think I've got it. I'm pretty sure I have the fifth one. No one's going to agree with me, but we're just talking about the greatest in the most famous iconic of our time.
Mm.
Britney Spears.
It's just so unfair. But that's what the comp is. Is it iconic or is it best musician? Because best musician, you'd have to say like Beethoven or something like that. Right?
Okay, obviously excluding the musical masters that have existed hundreds of years. We're talking living memory.
Yeah. I think musicians. We're talking pop icons. Not pop necessarily, but just icons in music history.
But I reckon then Bob Marley should be there as well. He defined the reggae genre. Like, if Britney Spears is there, Bob Marley better be fucking there. That's
all
I'm
saying.
Yeah,
you can't put Britney in there because you let too many people in. What? It's if Britney goes in, so does Bowie, or so does Bob
Marley.
Why does
Bowie go in? Because that's what I'm saying. The very fact that that dumbass rang up on like, who's Bowie? Who's talking about him?
Well, why is he the measure of what's music, the dumbass? You're saying he's the guy that gets to decide.
Yeah, I'm saying that if you ask that dumbass, do you know of the Beatles, do you know of the Rolling Stones? He'd be like, yeah, of course I do.
Maybe.
You haven't answered my original question. Who's Bowie?
But he'd put Rihanna and people like that on his list, wouldn't he?
Top five?
Yeah. As if he wouldn't. How can you give him enough credit to say, no, he's above that.
Ja Rule. Lamar.
So who's your top five, Robbie?
I suppose I'd say...
No, but we're saying these four are set in stone. So these are the four commandments of music.
Jackson, Elvis, Beatles, Stones.
You don't disagree with any of them, do you? In terms of notoriety and greatness in terms of their iconic visage.
Sure, okay. I guess you could probably... You could remove like one of the... You could probably remove the Stones, but maybe not. I guess that... Oh, but they are too big, aren't they?
They've got the magazine that defines what is popular music named after
the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, and that is why they're in the list as well. Like, just because of that magazine.
No,
I think it did more for their marketing than anything else.
That's a weird theory.
No, that magazine was named after...
Very strange.
It was named after a Muddy Waters song, I'm pretty sure. Like, the same one that the Stones named themselves after.
Oh! Yeah, okay.
Interesting fact.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, anyway.
Yeah. Wouldn't doubt that at all.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
So there you go.
The point is, you learned stuff. Ruined the segment, Robbie.
A little bit too much.
You and your phone.
Everyone was very sure that it was named after the Rolling Stones, and to have that much wind taken out of it really set it up for a bad rest of the pod.
Yeah.
I'll happily
believe. Like, if you're not sure about that, what can you be sure of?
We can be sure that the Tasmanian tiger is dead. Can we?
We can.
Can we?
No, we can't.
That's yeah. Well, I can't be sure of anything.
Hang on a sec, I just got a look.
How does that relate to the Tasmanian tiger?
Because it's like an Australian crawl. And it's a very... I don't know, to me, it just reeks of Australia. Well, it sounds very Australian. It's by Australian Coral. It's a very Australian song. We're talking about the Australian tiger, aren't we?
Yeah, right.
Tasmanian tiger.
I guess so. Great Southern Land's pretty Aussie.
Yeah.
Back in Black, they've got black stripes.
Yeah, there's a lot of more Australian songs.
Probably, but
I just like that. As if you don't like that one, but do you like Tasmanian tiger?
As a mammal?
Like, as an animal?
Are you going to say... Because we just did our first radio show, and Robbie said many outrageous things. Ali wasn't there. He was listening to a bit of it in the car, but he didn't know what Spotify was. He thought he came up with this genius idea for, why don't we get every song together on a database
Charge $10.95 a month. Yeah. But anyway, the point is, like, he also said, should we respect gorillas? Was one of his like questions that he posed to the audience to text in on.
Should we respect
specifically Coco the gorilla that we were talking about in relation
to the most question. Knowledgeable gorilla of all of them, the Stephen Hawking of gorillas. Should we respect it?
That's very true, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, all right. So Jordan read a book about Tasmanian tigers, and he is convinced that they still exist. They're an extinct marsupial
question mark,
yeah. From Tasmania, that it was half a dingo, half a kangaroo. If you don't know what a Tasmanian tiger is, I feel
that's a really crude interpretation of biology, I reckon.
Yeah,
half kangaroo, half dingo.
Yeah, not
it's just really, a big dog.
Yeah, if you had to try and describe
huge
it,
huge head. Apparently, it had a very pungent odor. You could tell when one was around. And extremely intelligent. Trackers used to find it very difficult to shoot them outright because they used to hunt them. It was an animal that was so intelligent that as soon as it noticed that something was on its territory, it would stalk them. And the only way that you could tell that it was stalking them is because you'd be like, what smells like Tasmanian great cheese? Nowhere near Hobart, it must be. When the hunter became the hunted. But apparently the most any of them ever endured was a bit of a nip on the bum. Right. None of them, it never really attacked. It was not a savage animal, it was a shy creature that, how beautiful is this, loved the moon.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of dogs.
Apparently, every time there was a full moon, because they, you know that footage, you've probably seen it, Robbie. Ali, have you seen that footage of the one in the 30s in a cage, and it's just pacing up and down this concrete? It's basically just a bird cage for a dog.
Yeah, it's just
a very sad
way smaller than it should be.
Yeah, and they were saying that one of the zookeepers said that it was the animal that it felt sorry for most because apparently they had extremely expressive eyes, and the only thing that it enjoyed in its entire life was every now and then a sparrow would come in, and then it'd quickly animate to life and try and hunt it. The zookeepers would always just be like, yeah, you got it this time. And yeah. That was his only fun thing. That, and every time the moon came out, it would just sit there and wonder.
Such speculation.
They know it was wondering.
Wondering.
Not just really freaked out and trying to work out what it is in the sky.
So, I mean, can we, do moths wonder at lights as well?
Yeah,
they do.
Surely they do.
Pretty obsessed with lights.
Yeah, but do they wonder?
They move slowly towards it.
That's their pace, man. That's how fast they can go. Yeah. Right.
If you think moths wonder, why don't you comment below just a close-up of Stuart Little's face. Like, really close. Almost close enough that we can't decipher who it is.
My sphere.
Wait, so Jordan, what makes you think that they're still around?
So, the theory is, because there was too many eyewitness accounts of people saying, you know, the same thing as when people see a UFO. I know what I saw. And they're mostly bushmen that spend a lot of time in the wild. And they wouldn't say that it doesn't sound fantastical in that their entire life they've spent there. They're just bushmen. So they've spent their whole life in the wilderness. And then one time they'll just be like, oh, yeah. No, in the 80s. I fucking saw one, you know, that kind of thing, right? Really certain about it. But on top of that, the thing is, you're not in the wilderness in Tasmania where it's extremely inaccessible. So the theory is that they started getting... Everyone thought they were extinct because in their normal patio area, the grasslands, they were shot. But if all of your family is getting systematically wiped out, you would think, holy shit, I better retreat. And so then the theory is that they just went into the wilderness, and there's still huge tracts of Tasmania, sometimes 80 kilometres without even a dirt road, in the mountains. And they think that there might still be a small population there, and that doesn't seem to be in the realm as the Loch Ness Monster or the Sasquatch to me. It's plausible. It's at least plausible that the Tasmanian tiger still exists in a small population somewhere in Tasmania.
Okay, I have a question. Could there be another animal that might look at least similar to the Tasmanian devil that they might be confusing it with?
A dog?
A dog.
But well, they are a dog. But they do have a very distinctive tail, and they're always saying it, that you can always... The guy that's been documenting it knows when somebody's just bullshitting, he claims anyway, because he's been doing it for 40 years, and he's heard thousands of accounts. And out of them, he says that maybe, you know, 100 of them are apt. And it's always the same three things. Kangaroo tail, huge bull-like head, pungent odor. Those are the three things.
But then again, a lot of people have claimed to see Bigfoot as well. So I'm wondering on the credibility.
Well, that was...
That's my point. Like, what? Bigfoot does not exist except for in that happy-go-lucky family movie from the 90s, right? We don't know that there is a giant ape man. There's no actual proof of it ever existing, but the Tasmanian tiger was in living memory alive.
Yeah, but there's no current evidence that it exists anymore.
Yeah, and what about, like, all those zookeepers? Wouldn't they be interested in just go explore that?
Well, yeah, that's there? My argument as to why we know the Tasmanian tiger is extinct.
Yeah.
Is because just from reading literally an hour ago on ABC Science, it was saying that more money has been put into looking for the Tasmanian tiger than any other extinct species ever.
So yeah, which would still be fairly like $100,000. Yeah.
But also, Tasmanian tiger... So, like, the measure that is used to work out if something's extinct is to do with, like, confirmed sightings in relation to sightings prior to it being extinct or, like, suspected to be extinct. So, a lot of animals, say, like, the Arctic... fox or, you know, animals that are really rare, it's much harder to work out if they're extinct because sightings are so low anyway. But the main reason the Tasmanian tiger is thought to definitely be extinct is because prior to it being extinct, sightings were, like, very frequent. So, it was a really high rate compared to a lot of other extinct animals. And then the decline is so rapid, it then is a pattern that shows that there should still be sightings. It's not the kind of animal that is elusive enough to avoid altogether. And
it's pretty big as well, right? Like, it's hard to miss. Like, if it's a really small frog species that you're looking for, I can understand that you're taking it. But Tasmanian tiger is a pretty big animal.
Well, the argument is that they've adapted and moved off, right? So, like, you wouldn't see them because it's uncharted land in Tasmania. But I guess it's just hard because there's no evidence to show that they do exist.
I don't see how you can't give that at least a bit of credibility. Just because it's uncharted and no one's ever there, they think that there might be some Tasmanian tigers there. And I'm just here to tell you that that's definitely not the case.
I'm not saying it's definitely
I've never been there, but I definitely know for a fact.
But no one has seen one, right? Just to say because no one's
there. Heaps of old guys have seen it at the bar.
Yeah, at the bar.
At the bar.
That's why it's called.
That is exactly right. At the bar.
The guy with the wooden leg.
It'd be cool if
it was. It's got poured in it.
And there is actually a big history of extinct animals being rediscovered. One that I was reading was rediscovered after 180 years of being thought to be extinct. They found one alive.
So what was it?
It was like a, I don't know, some like a mole or some
mole.
Boring rodent looking
a
thing.
A boring rodent.
Something like that.
Damn it.
I don't know.
Boring?
Well, that's not that boring. It's, it wasn't extinct. So.
Oh, no.
But you'd love a Tasmanian tiger to be. I think mostly, I will admit a bias to this, because I remember when I was six, it's one of my most strongest early memories, is the Cascade ad where two Tasmanian tigers are looking wistfully at the moon. And yeah, and then I just go to my mom and say, like, can I see a Tasmanian tiger? And she goes, no, they're extinct, Jordan. Mm. That really cut me up, man.
Yeah, I was pretty affected by that too.
Yeah. It's a sad animal to be extinct.
What year did it become extinct?
30s.
Okay, 30s. Yeah, no, that sucks. It's really bad. Apparently, there was another rhino recently that became extinct. I don't know the exact...
Yeah, but we got more rhinos.
We
only had one kangaroo dog.
Yeah.
Why can't you breed them now?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't understand why they haven't brought that back yet. Because they do have the little freak fetus in the jar of alcohol that you can swig around and make it look like it's dancing.
It's not Jack and the Beanstalk's beans, man. You can just shake it and it'll come back to life.
They've talked about bringing mammoths
back. That's what
back.
You think, Ali.
They probably could clone one. But it's not really the same as bringing it back.
Yeah, they wouldn't sell as well as sea monkeys, would they? That's what we put our time and energy into, please, sea monkeys.
You think, yeah, the point is to sell them, like, for commercial use. That's why.
Well, no.
Yeah,
specifically at Australian Geographic.
Yeah, as a competitor to sea monkeys. Yeah. We could clone a woolly mammoth, but...
Market research?
No, yeah. Pet shops aren't interested in it either. Yeah. The place that sells kaleidoscopes, that's where we'll be selling the Tassie tiger.
But it's true, isn't it? Compete with the sea monkey industry. Are you crazy?
Apparently, there are more lions as pets in America than there are in, like, large parts of wilderness in Africa now.
Now, that is one of those facts that we were talking about air before. Yeah. Barely impressive.
It is impressive. I just can't believe it. It could be,
I couldn't believe it as well, but, like, it's pretty accurate.
It's tigers, not lions.
It's tigers, yeah.
Oh, right.
It's tigers.
Oh,
right. And that, don't you think that makes a world of difference? It definitely does to me.
Well,
I've never seen a tiger in the wild.
Yeah. Well, you see prides of lions quite often. On, videos and stuff.
You sure do. Anyway.
And that
brings us to the end of the show.
No, not just yet, but really soon, because we, as I say, we did stuff up the time here.
Ollie, can you, in 3 minutes...
super quick.
Wasted time with essentially what is a Discovery Channel 4:30 in the afternoon documentary about Bigfoot. Some say he exists, some don't. Let's look at the very shitty evidence.
And ours is all secondary as well. Like, we're not even that confident on the evidence.
Yeah. I don't know, some mole or something. But it's still the same. Still the same conclusion as all 4:30 documentaries. We don't know.
Yeah, why did I watch this? Oh,
God. We'll leave this up to you. You decide.
Why do you decide? Slob on the TV.
Yeah, probably.
So Ali, talk to us about Pakistan.
Tell us a horrific story quick.
Tell us its political structure in 8 minutes.
Eight, we've got three.
We've got one more thing as well.
Okay, all right, so the political structure.
Good stuff.
This is going to be fun. Okay.
You're on the clock, Ali.
Okay, so I'm going to have to back it up a bit. When the British were essentially owners of the world, remember that, those days? Okay, so they had a few institutions within those colonies that were actually running quite, like, they were funding them. So those institutions, like the army, so the British would need, like, a local army to fight. They would need a civil bureaucracy to run stuff. They didn't care about much of the other things. So what happened was, when they eventually left, you just had these places that had a few institutions that had, like, this history of functioning properly. So those institutions became really, really powerful. And Pakistan, the army, became really powerful because it pre-existed the country itself. And they also happened to have the gun. So, because they are the army, so they decide, not only are we better than you, but we can also enforce this betterment on you. So they became really, really powerful. Unlike which is about, like, half of Pakistan's history is under military rule. At the moment, though, the army is a super, super strong institution. It's clearly it's the strongest institution there is. And there's this sort of there's no one institution that has the supreme authority in a way. So there's the army, which is, like, a very, very strong interest group. Then there's the normal politicians that are also strong, but not as strong as the army. Then you've got the judiciary, which in recent times has become sort of independent in its own right. So you've got these parallel forces running together. The only time Pakistan actually manages to achieve what it wants to is if all of these institutions, and primarily the army, are on the same page. If they're working together, they are moving towards betterment. If even either one of these institutions, if they're having issues with the other one, then things are just going to stay the way they are, stagnate. And if not, get worse. So there's, like, these parallel forces running together. Australia, think of, like, the Labour Party and the Libs. They're both these two institutions that run things together. But within Australia, because you have this constitution, we do as well, but, like, you actually enforce it. So, you can somehow manage that. So the opposition party can create some disruptions and not let something go through, but by and large, one authority has, what the government has this authority to actually go for it. Same in America as well. You've got these executive powers with the president that can enforce things. That is much harder to do in Pakistan because it can be trumped. And then, like any other third world country, the things that they're most afraid of is the people themselves. So any army, any dictator, they're all afraid of the people. They're all afraid of the fact that everyone's just going to decide, no, we don't want this guy here. So they try their best to. So within this mixed puzzle, you try to work things.
Is there a lot of fat guys in jacuzzis in Pakistan's elite?
Yeah, man. Like, the sauna's pretty big now, so you probably have these fucking fat generals of the army just chilling in a sauna. It's like, who should we attack? Should we do it? Probably not. This place is all right.
I always feel like a fat guy in a jacuzzi has got to be one of the most fear-ridden men in the world. Mm. Like, you don't want to get out of that. It's too comfy, right? No wonder you would be scared of people.
Yeah. All right, and with that, we're going to have to wrap it up.
No, we're just going to quickly... We'll do the dad thing now. Just really quickly.
Oh, right.
Thanks for that, though, Ali. That was really cool. sorry to rush you there. All right, so this is basically dad's favourite tracks, right? All of our dad's sort of favourite artists or whatever, and we just see who's got the cooler dad?
Whose dad's got the best taste in music?
Yep. Okay, yep. So we're going to start with Tom's dad.
Okay. Moby. It's like an awards nomination note. Moby.
Moby with Porcelain there. That's Tom's dad.
And so if you want to put in Moby, put in a picture of Moby Dick, not Moby the artist, and vote for Tom's dad being the coolest.
Okay, this is Jordan's dad.
Sting.
It is nomination.
Sting with Fragile there.
So if you want Sting, put in B the movie, as the main character is B, who has a stinger.
Ali.
Ali.
And this is Ali's father.
Everybody's talking.
That's awesome. Fuck. Ali always wins these things.
You chose the cool. We specifically said beforehand, it's your dad's guilty pleasure. Yeah. That's not his
this
guilty pleasure.
This is his, in fact, guilty pleasure. He doesn't listen to music enough.
It's too cool.
Stop talking up your dad.
Yeah.
My dad owns two cars.
Alright, what's the photo for that?
What's the photo for that,
the
Jordan?
27-year-old version. Harry Nilsson. Just put a clarinet and put Harry Potter's head on it, so it's a harinet.
Jesus Christ. And this is my dad's. Just wanna be
big rock stars and live. Really?
That's awesome.
This doesn't need an Oscar nomination. Introduction.
Yeah. Alright, yeah.
Yeah, that's Nickelback with Rockstar. It's actually quite a banging track, in my opinion.
And I suppose if you wanted that one, you get a red belly, just a red back spider and put a nickel on its back.
Yep. Okay. Alright, and really quickly, the Tyrannosaurus chess move, Samuel Troy, you're the only one that's interested in this now, is C2 to C3. So the little pawn to stop you. I know what you're doing. C2 to C3.
Sorry. No. Because also, we missed it out last week, which, massive apology. We had a hell of a day. So Robbie is now going to make what he imagines is a Tyrannosaurus's apology roar.
Okay, let's hear it real quick, Robbie.
Ah!
That was awful.
Once more. Hey,
you look like a hipster Chewbacca, so just... Yeah. It looks like Chewbacca when he was a teenager, really.
Okay. All right, we're rushed out. All right, so, thanks, everyone. Really short pod, but listen to the radio this week as well, and we'll be back next week.
Let's go out with... Don't complain.
Yep. Okay, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, thanks to Ali, Jordan, Tom. And Robbie, episode 44 of the Friendly Journeys podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, FBI.
Goodbye.
Bye.